All right, well, good morning. If you would, turn to Matthew chapter 28, looking at the Great Commission of Jesus there. And Jesus says, go and make disciples. That's different from just converting someone or baptizing someone and then letting them sit on a church pew and die. There's a big difference between those two things. My lesson today is titled, Rescue the Perishing. I wish we had sung this song prior to my message because this song is woven throughout my entire sermon. You're going to hear pieces of the sermon in each of the points that I give. So it would have been kind of cool just so you'd see where this is coming from. Fanny J. Crosby is one of the greatest songwriters of all time. She went blind at the age of 6 weeks old due to a medical mistake. At a very young age, she asked God to use her. I believe that He did. She wrote over 8,000 hymns, like Blessed Assurance, I Am Thine, O Lord. Jesus is tenderly calling. Jesus, keep me near the cross. Praise Him, praise Him. Tell me the story of Jesus. And by the way, she did not start writing hymns until she was 44. So from that point on, over 8,000 hymns. Rescue the Perishing was written in 1869 after an experience she had had in a New York mission. And the song was published in 1870. Let me ask you a very important question this morning. Do you have a personal commitment to the Great Commission of Jesus? I'm not asking if you know about it. I'm not asking if you're aware of Matthew chapter 28, 19 and 20. I'm asking if you have a commitment to the Great Commission, because each one of us has a responsibility to the Great Commission of Jesus. And it's so easy for us to excuse ourselves from this commission because we can say, well, that's the preacher's job, or it's the elder's job, or it's the deacon's job, it's the leadership in the church's job, but it's not my job. Jesus said to all His disciples, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. And by the way, these are Jesus' marching orders to this church. This is the work that Jesus gave His church to do. And when you carry out this mission of Jesus, you're not in it alone. Jesus promises that He will be present, that He will be with you. And that's why He says in verse 20, I am with you always to the very end of the age. Now, I believe this is a special promise of the presence of Jesus to disciples who go out and make disciples. Now, there is a sense in which God is always with us and will never leave us. Hebrews 13:5, God says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. That's a great promise from God. This promise of Jesus being with us, I believe, is for disciples who are carrying out the mission of Jesus. You will experience His presence in a very unique way. It's a promise. So whenever you're out there and you want to talk to someone about the Lord, Jesus is with you in that moment. And I believe that Jesus will help you if you ask Him to. And so the Great Commission comes to you and to me, and it challenges us to respond. So what is the Great Commission? Well, let me give you three practical ways of looking at it. Number one, the Great Commission of Jesus is the expansion of the family of God. It is God's growing family. And all of us in here know that there's nothing more exciting than a growing family. Right, Greg? There's nothing more exciting than that. Our new little grandbaby over here, number 8, very precious, but there's nothing that's more exciting than a growing family. We all want a growing family. And I know that there's nothing more exciting than that because I've talked to way too many of you grandparents. And every one of you tell me that this is the greatest thing since sliced bread. So I believe that it's true. There's no excitement like the excitement that comes from a growing family. But as excited as we get about the addition to our family, there's no comparison to the joy that God experiences when His family grows. I just turn your attention to a couple of verses that we were at in our Bible class in Luke chapter 15, verse 7. Listen, I say to you that likewise there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. And then in verse 10, likewise, I say to you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. And so when God's family grows, there is excitement in heaven as the angels of God are called together. They would be the friends of God. And God says, let's celebrate because God's family is growing. Look in Revelation chapter 7. In Revelation chapter 7, we have a picture here of God's family, His growing family. Beginning at verse 9, let's read down through to verse 11. Beginning at verse 9. After these things I looked, and behold, a great multitude which no one could number of all nations, tribes, and peoples, and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, saying, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. And all the angels stood around the throne, and the elders and the four living creatures fell down on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen. And so what we read about here is a great multitude that no one could number. He says from all nations, tribes, and peoples, and tongues. What you have here is a picture of God's complete family. This is the end. This is when God's family is as big as it will ever get. It will be an innumerable multitude. So we're talking about billions of people. Billions of people will be in heaven. I know the Bible says many are called, but few are chosen. Yeah, more will be lost than saved. But that's because of human will, because we all have free will. We can accept Christ or reject Christ, and your eternity is based on your acceptance or rejection of Jesus Christ. And so this is God's complete family. It's a large family. And now, though, is the time for God's family to grow. To reach this point that we're reading out in Revelation chapter 7, this is after we have been faithful to the great commission of Jesus. This is after we have gone into all the world and preached the gospel to all nations. It won't happen apart from God's people going into all the world. God does not commission angels. He commissions us, His people, disciples. So now is the time for God's family to grow. Now is the time to rescue the perishing, care for the dying. Now is the time to snatch them in pity from sin in the grave. Now is the time to weep o'er the erring one, lift up the fallen. Now is the time to tell them that Jesus is mighty to save, as the song says. And it grows one life at a time. Let me turn your attention to a couple of verses. One is in 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter 2, verse 5. 1 Peter 2, 5. Peter says, you also as living stones are being built up as a spiritual house, a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. And then turn over to Ephesians chapter 2. In Ephesians 2, and we have another picture of living stones being built together, making this holy temple in the Lord. It's one soul at a time, one life at a time. Beginning in verse 19 of Ephesians 2, Paul writes, Now therefore you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, and Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Notice, in whom the whole building being fitted together grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. And so God is building this spiritual temple, and it's made of living stones. You and I, and God includes everyone who's baptized into Christ, and he's erecting this beautiful temple in which God himself lives. He dwells in his people. And so Jesus says, go and preach to all nations. Why? So that his family can be complete one day. And here's a critical question. Can God count on you? Can he count on you? Can he count on you for the expansion of his family? The song tells us to plead with them earnestly, plead with them gently. He will forgive if they trust and obey. So what is the Great Commission? The Great Commission is God's growing family. It's the expansion of his family. Number two, the Great Commission of Jesus is helping people get home. Helping people get home. This is why discipleship is so essential. Because nobody gets home on their own. We all need help. About a decade or so ago, the highlights on ESPN was Western Oregon and Central Washington were playing. This is the girls' softball championship game. Western Oregon, Sarah Tucholsky was batting with two runners on, and she hit her first ever home run. And her excitement when she was running the bases, she missed first base. And she turned to go back and reach first base, but when she turned, her leg didn't turn, and she tore her ACL. And so the coach asked, can we put in a substitute runner? He said, if you do that, it's a single. He said, well, can our teammates help her around? And they said, if they do, she will be declared out. Well, that's when Central Washington's Mallory Holtman had asked the umpire if they could carry her around the bases. And he said, yes. So Mallory Holtman and Liz Wallace on the other team carried Tucholsky around the bases. So listen, church, none of us get home by ourselves. We all need help. The Bible says we've all sinned. We're all lost. We're all injured. We're all struggling. And we're all helpless on our own. We all need someone to come to us and share with us the message of salvation, without which we will not be saved. And so it takes others to help us get home. You see, down in the human heart, crushed by the tempter, feelings lie buried that grace can restore. Touched by a loving heart, weakened by kindness, cords that were broken vibrate once more. That's what happens when you share the gospel with another person. They become alive spiritually. They are no longer dead in sin, but they're alive in Jesus Christ. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing. So let me ask you, who are you willing to help get home? Who are you willing to share Jesus with? And sometimes it starts with just an invitation to come to a service like this and to worship God, and it piques their interest. Maybe it's an invitation to study the Bible. You just ask someone, would you like to study the Bible together? And that often leads to their salvation. Sometimes it starts by serving someone, by helping someone. That opens up the door for you to share the saving message of Jesus with those who are lost. So who are you willing to help get home? Number three, The Great Commission of Jesus is the most important work that is going on in this world. So there's no task more important than finding God's lost sons and daughters. Jesus said, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost." And so Jesus left us with these instructions. He said, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. He who has believed and has been baptized shall be saved. But he who has disbelieved will be condemned." Listen, church. People are either going to be with God in eternity or they're going to be without God in eternity. They will either be saved or condemned. Listen. Think about our world. Our world is in big trouble. People are lost and they need to be found. We are told that 1 out of 4 are atheists. 3.4% of our world worships animals. Think about that. 13% of the world are Hindus. 1 billion are Muslim. We're talking about all lost people here. Families are falling apart. 9 out of 10 of us know someone who has a drug or alcohol problem. Violent crime is steadily increasing. Pedophiles are sexually abusing children. And some folks are so messed up they practice bestiality. That's our world. It is lost. And that's why Paul says, there's none righteous, no, not one. There's not a just man upon the earth that does good and sins not. We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Church, our world is lost. And their only hope is that we, as the disciples of Jesus, carry out the mission that He's given us to do. As the song says, rescue to perishing, duty demands it. Strength for the labor the Lord will provide. You see, we're in the business of helping people get their lives right. And that's way more important than football. It's way more important than basketball. It's way more important than Dancing with the Stars and Who Wins American Idol. It's way more significant than that. What we do matters. We make a difference in people's lives. Not just for a little while, but for eternity. Think about that. So the difference you make when you share the message of salvation with someone is eternity. Eternity. That's huge. Not just while people live. Although I believe that people are blessed while they live as Christians. They're blessed by God. But life just gets better because when you transition from here to the other side, you go into the presence of God Almighty where life will be good for all eternity. See, no job on this planet is more important than fulfilling the marching orders of Jesus. Tell the poor wanderer that a Savior has died. That's what the song pleads with us to do. It's what the Gospels plead with us to do. It's what Jesus pleads with us to do. So church, let me ask you, are you willing to rescue the perishing? Because they are perishing. This is the most relevant work in the world. Nothing's more relevant than this. Because people's eternity is decided here. There's nothing more relevant than that. Nothing. You can't think of anything that's more relevant than the gospel message. Because every person in the world is dead and needs to be made alive, and that can only happen through the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I want to just read to you from Ephesians, the 2nd chapter. Paul says, "And you were dead, and you He made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince, the power of the air, the spirit that now works and the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the other. But God is rich in mercy because of His great love with which He loved us. Even when we were dead in our trespasses, He made us alive together with Christ. For by grace are you saved." And so the gospel message is the only message that can make a person alive. Without the gospel message, people remain dead in their sin and lost and no hope and no chance of being with God. So church, my message to you is this. Rescue the perishing. Duty demands it. It is the command of Jesus. And that is imperative, by the way, in Matthew. Those are imperative. Go and teach all nations and then baptize them and then continue to teach them. That is so vital because I think for so long the church has been negligent. And for so long, you know, the church is real big about sharing the gospel and then baptizing someone and then they sit on a pew and they die because they're not discipled. They're not taught. They're not taught how to grow from that point to adulthood in Jesus Christ. And so, you know, you think about little Hank. Well, he's getting fed now, I guess. But imagine if you know, Rachel came home from the hospital and said, Hank, I did my job. And puts him on the porch and says, you're on your own. What's going to happen to that child? Well, everybody knows what's going to happen. He's going to die. Because an infant doesn't know how to keep themselves alive. They depend on the parents. And disciples depend upon the discipler to teach them, to train them, to help them. And by the way, the great commission of Jesus, what he commissions here, and that is make disciples, it's the only way the job can get done. It can't get done any other way. It's not going to get done because we have church buildings and open doors on Sunday mornings. Very few people come in here. Very few people come in here on a Sunday morning. Look at this crowd. Enid is 55,000 plus. So obviously just having church doors open doesn't get the job done. And that's not what he said. He didn't say, go and build church buildings and open the doors and invite people to come. That is not the Great Commission of Jesus. The Great Commission of Jesus is go and make disciples. And you see, when you make a disciple, that disciple then can go make a disciple. And then that disciple can make a disciple. And that disciple a disciple. And that's how the church will grow. And by the way, I've used this illustration many a times. But if I were the only person on this planet who was a disciple, a Christian, and the whole world was lost, in the next 6 months, if I converted someone, and then in the next 6 months, that person and myself convert someone, now there's four in a year. If you do that by year 17, you surpass the world's population. That's how fast that grows. But that's kind of unrealistic that every 6 months we're going to convert somebody. So let's just say one a year. So you double that number to 34. In 34 years, the whole world could be told about Jesus. 34 years. But it takes everyone talking to someone about Jesus. Every year, converting someone. So that's the way the job will get done. And so I want to encourage you, rescue the perishing. If you need rescuing yourself, we encourage you this morning to come to Jesus. He will forgive you if you will trust and obey. So come as we sing.